Despite promising more than 2 million jobs in the 2013 elections, many Zimbabweans saw 2014 come to an end without jobs as companies continued to shut down, revealing signs of a worsening economy. Many say the ZANU-PF government and President Robert Mugabe seemed concerned with dousing succession fires within the party than tackling more critical national issues such as reviving the economy. With many now forced to find their own employment in what former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai termed a nation of vendors, Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Young Workers Council member Godfrey Mutimba says his main worry in 2014 was the ruling party's failure to live up to its promise of creating jobs.
At least 10 companies were closing every month in the country, and that alone was a major disappointment to the young people in Zimbabwe.
Former students leader Clever Bere echoes the same sentiments, adding that the nation expected a lot from the ZANU-PF government, but nothing came out, and if anything, the situation got worse.
I don't think there is something that we can positively pin to say in 2014 as a country we have achieved 1, 2, 3.
Their views are supported by former top treasury employee and economist Masimba Manyanya, who believes that the ruling party has failed to turn around the economy as all targets set in the budget were missed.
The budget failed to create an environment of confidence, especially in the financial sector. And the economic crisis began to perpetuate itself into a social crisis as well as a political crisis.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa projected that the economy would grow by at least 6% when he initially presented the country's national budget, but the government downgraded the figure to just over 3% within 8 months. The International Monetary Fund also indicated that Zimbabwe was likely to grow by almost 2.5% in 2014, saying the situation remained difficult in the country with deflation, lack of foreign direct investment, inconsistent investment policies, and other factors undercutting the ailing economy. While the economy was sliding further, the ZANU-PF party dumped then-Vice President Joyce Mujuru in the run-up to its Congress following party allegations that she was corrupt and wanted to unseat President Mugabe unconstitutionally. Some Zimbabweans say the sacking of Ms. Mujuru and her allies, who included other top party and government officials like Didmus Mutasa, Rugare Gumbo, Nicholas Gotch and others ahead of the Congress early this month, did not raise any hopes of a better future in the country. Ordinary people like Wakefield Mulilo don't believe that the firing of Ms. Mujuru and ministers will resolve the country's economic crisis.
One obviously expects the new brooms to sweep cleaner. But let's wait and see. Probably we need to give them time. Let them move in. Let's see what they come up with. But it's going to be an uphill task for them.
Manyanya is that there is no reason why the ruling party and government kept Ms. Mujuru in office for 10 years if she was corrupt and incompetent.
The vice president has been kept on a hefty salary for all that long, when people in the party knew very well that she was involved in scandals, in political scandals. The question is, why do we allow people to occupy such positions of influence at a huge cost to the economy and to society without making a concrete decision? Immediately people discover that that kind of thing is happening. So public sympathy ordinarily would drift to Mujuru.
Bere says he is disappointed that the ZANU-PF Congress failed to deal with corruption, as some of the people widely believed to be corrupt had been elevated.
If we need to deal with corruption, we clearly have to do away with ZANU-PF as a country.
ZANU-PF activist Goodson Nguni said the economy could not perform to expectations due to economic sanctions imposed by the United States and its Western allies. Former ZANU-PF legislator Bright Matonga said the economy is, however, stabilized and there is room for growth next year.
So there is a stability. Of course, cash has been a problem, but at least you've got goods on the shelf.
He further says Mujuru's expulsion could be a confidence booster if evidence is found that she was indeed corrupt. For the first time since independence in 1980, Mugabe fired his deputy and 16 ministers and deputies, claiming they were corrupt and had hatched a plan to topple him. Most of them have denied any wrongdoing. On the other hand, some Zimbabweans rapped opposition parties for failing to take advantage of the fragmented ZANU-PF party to build a powerful supporters base and turn around the fortunes of the country. They attacked former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai for failing to mobilize people to protest against the declining economy due to fissures in his own party, which led to the formation of the MDC renewal team. The group has since teamed up with another MDC party led by Professor Welsh Mengube in an attempt to form a formidable opposition party. Manyanya says the opposition in Zimbabwe is too weak at present to mount any serious challenge to President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party.
Zimbabwe needs a strong opposition, credible opposition, that can stand up with alternative policies and strategies, and that stands up tall above the mess that we are in right now.
But Tsvangirai argues that he is ready to join hands with other opposition parties to form one strong united front and challenge Mugabe's rule.
The time to unite and mobilize the people of Zimbabwe for the end game is beckoning. I, for one, myself, would be prepared to consider that very, very seriously. And the sooner people sit together and start discussing about how to unite, how to form a more formidable force to find a national solution, the better.
Political parties like Transform Zimbabwe and the African Democratic Party led by Marcelin Chikasha were formed in 2014 as the fight for democracy continued in Zimbabwe. It remains to be seen what these parties will do in 2015 as the country is set to hold the next general election in 2018. ZANU-PF has already declared that President Mugabe will be the party's presidential candidate. He will be 94 years old at that time. What also shocked many Zimbabweans in 2014 were revelations early in the year that some parastatal bosses were earning hefty salaries while not paying their workers and at the expense of services. Among those were former Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation Chief Executive Officer Hepson Muchechetere, who earned more than $40,000. Another parastatal boss, Chief Executive Officer Cuthbert Dube of the Public Service Medical Aid Society or PISMAS, earned more than $500,000 a month in salaries and allowances, though some of them have been fired, while others had their salaries reduced to at least $6,000 a month. The majority remain in office, and the public remains angry over the issue. Public management lecturer at South Africa's Tshwane University of Technology, Riki Mukonza, believes that those who benefited undeservedly must face the music.
These people have not been punished as I would expect as an ordinary Zimbabwean.
Following the dissolution of the PISMAS board, after the huge salary revelations, some members left their positions in government, but others like President Mugabe's spokesman George Charamba, who is also permanent secretary in the Information Ministry, and Civil Service Commission Secretary Priti Sunguro, decided to stay put. They were not immediately available for comment. Harare resident Hilda Njovu says one of the events which hit the headlines in 2014 was the assault of police officers in Budiriro in May by angry members of the Johann Masowe Apostolic sect after they tried to ban the church for allegedly engaging in illicit issues like early child marriages. She explains that another incident she liked most was the imprisonment of former RIMG Independent End Time Message church leader Robert Martin Gumbura for raping church members.
One thing that interested me most was the imprisonment of the so-called pastor Martin Kumbura, who raped members of his congregation. This really shows that our rights are being respected. I liked the length sentence that he was given of more than 40 years.
In other major developments, former CBZ Bank boss John Manguja was appointed Reserve Bank governor, taking over from Gideon Gono, who retired after serving his mandatory 2 terms. With just a few months in office, Manguja introduced special bond coins to ease the shortage of change in Zimbabwe. The special coins of 1 cent, 5 cents, 10 cents, 20 cents and 25 cents are part of a $50 million bond that government secured to produce them in South Africa. However, the coins have not been well received by the public and some sections of business who view the move as efforts by government to bring back the defunct Zimbabwe dollar, which they rejected in 2009 following the spiraling hyperinflation. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.